92 HD.
We're talking to the leader of One Nation in New South Wales, Mark Latham. Mark Labor are having a bet both ways, if you like, on its carbon levy for coal mines.
Yeah, they certainly are. You've got Labor candidates like Dan Repetroli and Hunter and the Labor member for Shortland, Pat Conroy, saying that these coal mines are not included in Labor's climate change policy. The climate change policy is to say that if a company emits too much carbon dioxide equivalent, they've got to buy carbon credits. The government makes them fork out millions every year to buy carbon credits. Now, you can't have it both ways. Either you've got a climate change policy that punishes the big emitters, and Chris Bowen has said the coal mines are in, they're included in that punishment policy, or you don't have any valid climate change policy with this 43% emission reduction target in 8 years' time. So I think it's a dreadful, dreadful thing that Conroy and Repetroli, and to some extent Merrill Swanson has done this as well, are not only doing the coal miners in for their jobs, but as they pack them off to the Centrelink office, they're lying to them about the true nature of the Labor policy. The Labor policy obviously is about climate change, it's about emission reduction, and the coal mines in the Hunter Valley, all 18 of them, plus companies like Orica and Tomago making aluminium, they're included as well. That's the only way Labor can reduce emissions by 43% by 2030. So Repetroli, Conroy and Swanson, tell the truth. If you're going to do these workers out of their job, at least have the integrity to tell them the true nature of Labor policy instead of walking both sides of the street.
New South Wales teachers have vowed to continue their fight with the state government over pay and conditions after they staged a mass walkout. This happened yesterday, as we know, in their second strike within 6 months. They have vowed to do it again, Mark, if they don't get their way.
Wow, haven't the students been through enough? COVID, home learning, missing class, they get back for term two and there's a full strike and parents go through all the inconvenience, children miss out on the classroom learning. Look, I've got a lot of sympathy for the high-performing teachers who deserve performance pay and a good pay increase. But I've got to say, Brent, I haven't got a lot of sympathy for teachers who've basically given up on teaching. I visited a very good non-government school on Tuesday, Pacific Hills at Tyrrell. I went through six or seven classrooms and the teacher was at the front of the classroom teaching. Direct instruction, an interchange of views and knowledge with the students. You can go to some of the underperforming woke government schools and the teacher's not at the front of the classroom teaching. They regard themselves as a facilitator where they walk around with a cup of coffee and the students are in groups doing what they call self-starting learning, which is mainly getting junk off the internet and one kid does most of the work in the group. Now, I don't regard that as a workload stress. I want to pay the high-performing teachers and when they get in front of the classroom and like they do at Pacific Hills, they get the results and the school is steaming ahead with higher results. Those teachers should be rewarded with more money, more pay. But if you're not doing the job and you're just a facilitator, why do you deserve extra money?
Do you know something that came out of this strike on Wednesday? And I married a school teacher. She's been retired for quite a few years. So I knew this. But a lot of people still thought that the teachers were paid when they go on strike. But that's not the case. When they go on strike, they don't get paid.
Well, they shouldn't be.
Exactly.
They're not teaching.
Yeah, exactly.
And they've got to get back to teaching in front of the classroom. New South Wales has the fastest falling school academic results in the world. Not just Australia, the world. And a product, and it's a product of the woke content, the political rubbish in the classroom, and this facilitation model they've got where the kids are supposed to teach themselves. I often look at it and think, well, why don't the kids just stay at home and do home learning? But it's not education, it's not working, and it's not teaching. So I think we need a shake up in how teachers do their job. And if they get the results and the kids are going way up in academic success, pay them a lot more money. Performance pay for a profession that's treated professionally.
I got a couple of minutes left. That's it. Let's talk about this debate about ICAC.
Well, it's come up again. Scott Morrison called them a kangaroo court. I think they've done some good work with Obeid and Berejiklian in more recent times, but there's cases where they get it wrong. I spoke to ICAC at the budget estimates and said, really, you're only as strong as your weakest case. And there's a case at the moment with John Sidoti where they've got no evidence of corrupt conduct. And for 3 years, this guy's been out of the ministry. His political career is destroyed. His life, to some extent, is destroyed. And I think this is the danger with ICAC. When they get it wrong, it's just horrible. And they don't admit it. They don't say, look, you know, we haven't found any evidence of corruption, so we've got to wind this inquiry up and apologise to someone like John Sidoti. So I think that's the real weakness with ICAC. Sometimes they overreach and they're too proud to say they got it wrong.
Do you think there's a need for a federal ICAC?
No. No, I don't. I think the corruption that I've seen in government that I'm aware of is all about land development, which is local government and state, mining tenements, which is state, and at the federal level, when they talk about, you know, grants for car parks and all that, the Auditor General notes all that, and there's a political debate about it. It's not actually corruption to make grants to build car parks, but to set up, you know, $100, $200 million body to investigate corruption. There's better ways of spending that money. How about we spend it on our defence force? You know, preparing for war, worried about China. All available money has got to go into the defence of Australia instead of another lawyer's picnic with a federal commission.
Well said. It's always good to catch up with you. We look forward to talking to you next Thursday, okay?
Yep, look forward to it. Thanks, Brent.
Thanks, Mark. You too. Bye-bye. That's the leader of One Nation in New South Wales, Mark Latham.